ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओं श्रीमद्भागवतम् सेवन कैंटो चैप्टर सेवन एंटाइटल्ड व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्न्ड इन द वूम टेक्स्ट 51-52। नालं द्विजत्वं देवात् देवत्वं ऋषित्वं वासुरात्मजः प्रीणनाय मुकुन्दस्य न वृत्तं न बहुज्यता न दानं न तपो निज्या न शौचं न व्रतानि च प्रीयते मलया भक्त्या हरिरन्यद् विडम्बनम्। नालं द्विजत्वं देवत्वं ऋषित्वं वासुरात्मजाः प्रीणनाय मुकुन्दस्य न वृत्तं न बहुज्ञता न दानं न तपो निज्या न शौचं न व्रतानि च प्रीयते मलया भक्त्या हरिरन्यद् विडम्बनम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पोपोट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। माय डियर फ्रेंड्स, ओ सन्स ऑफ द डीमंस, यू कैनॉट प्लीज द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड बाय बिकमिंग परफेक्ट ब्राह्मणस, demigods or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Material elevation to life as a Brahmana, demigod, rishi and so on are not causes for developing love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi sah. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. Other processes may be helpful, but if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. धर्मः स्वनुष्ठितः पुंसाम् विश्वक्सेन कथासु यः न उत्पादयेत् यदि रतिम् श्रम एव हि केवलम्। ड्यूटीज और धर्म एग्जीक्यूटेड बाय मेन रिगार्डलेस ऑफ ऑक्यूपेशन आर ओनली एज मच यूजलेस लेबर इफ दे डू नॉट प्रोवोक अट्रैक्शन फॉर द मैसेज ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड। भागवतम 1:28। द टेस्ट ऑफ परफेक्ट द टेस्ट ऑफ परफेक्शन is one's unalloyed devotion to the Lord. My dear friends, O son of demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Very emphatic statement and clear exposition of the essence of perfection of life by a Mahajan. Mahajano yena gata sapantha. Mahajans are those who are paramahamsas. Hamsa means a swan. A swan has the ability, if a mixture of milk and water is given to it, it has a very special ability to extract only the milk and separate the water. So the Paramahamsa devotees, supreme swan-like devotees, are those, this whole cosmic manifestation, which is nothing but a mixture of matter and spirit. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham mano buddhire vacha ahankar ityam me bhinna prakriti. This matter, gross and subtle matter, then there is spirit. And of course, there is a controller of both who is beyond this creation. So a Paramahamsa devotee who knows the essence can easily separate the essential from the non-essential. He can extract something that is superficial, artificial, show from an essence of that sincerity. And herein, Prahlad Maharaj, at the age of 5, is clearly telling his demoniac or his friends who were very materialistic. Demoniac means basically focusing only on matter. A demon doesn't mean having horns and big protruding teeth coming out, man-eating cannibals. You can smile and yet be a villain, as Shakespeare says, something like that. Be the most gentle person and be the shrewdest and most cruel demon. Demon means only focusing on matter and forgetting the spirit. And a devotee means only focusing on the spirit and indifferent to matter. So, first of all, he says, without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Now, after coming to Krishna consciousness, so many of us are struggling to become good brahmanas. You know, to do Bhakti Shastri and get Brahman Diksha is a big achievement. Some people are striving. All of us want to strive to get Brahmanatvam, Dvijatvam. And demigod is very difficult in this life. We can become a demigod-like, being all good qualities. Krishna says, all the good qualities of demigods are present in a devotee. So, to be considered a devotee, we strive to develop all good qualities of demigods. So that others may think that actually pure devotional service is there. Therefore, all these demigod-like qualities are manifesting. Rishitvam, being a saintly person, Who doesn't want to be considered a saint? Navrittam, good conduct, etiquette. Prabhupada translates this as etiquette. In fact, we have systematic training of Vaishnava etiquette. We give a lot of time. Navrittam, not good conduct. Nabbahugyata, vast learning. Most of our devotional life is scrutinizing study of scriptures. In fact, it is one of the injunctions we tell people, you should study all the books. Prabhupada has written so many books. Become a learned person. He's telling not vast learning. Na dānam. One should be charitably disposed. Na dānam. Na tapaha. Austere. Na ijya. Not worship. Na shaucham. Not cleanliness. Na vratani. Execution of great vows. And most of this is what we do in devotional life. Actually, most of all of these are what we aspire for in devotional life. But there is a tendency of immaturity who do not understand the essence to gradually start emphasizing on the details and forget the essence. And therefore, the Supreme Lord, when He is pleased and He expresses His pleasure to someone, that is put in the scriptures for all time to come, for the whole world to see. When an insignificant bird like Jatayu was personally delivered by the Lord, when an insignificant woman who had none of these qualities, the Lord personally ate her remnants, not her remnants, but something which was contaminated by her own eating, when Shabari offered this externally contaminated fruits, Lord Ram with great satisfaction tasted it. Or when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu drank from the pot of Kolaveche Sridhar, who had practically none of these qualities from the external point of view. Again and again, in the scriptures, we come across certain activities of the Lord. Only when He is satisfied and glorifies someone by expressing His satisfaction, thus making that person's life completely perfect, can we understand that, oh, He didn't have this quality, He didn't have this. What did He have? So this person doesn't have any of this and still He got it, which means the Lord says something else. There's only one thing that satisfies the Lord. Only one thing, according to Prahlad Maharaj in this verse. He says, without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, text 8 to 12, Krishna gives 20 items. And He says, etat jnanam iti proktam ajnanam yadatonyatha. So these 20 items are knowledge. Everything else is ignorance. And what are the first two items? The first two items is humility. Amanitvam adambhitvam. Amanitvam. Humility and adambhitvam. Adambhitvam means pridelessness. Prabhupada translates, or in the purport, explains in one paragraph these two principles, amanitvam, adambhi. Dambha, again this particular word here, vidambanam, is show. Dambha means external exhibition of certain qualities without having those internally. Why do you want to show? If you don't have, why do you want to show? Because you want people to know and respect you for what you don't have. You can cheat the whole world. You can cheat yourself. But you can't cheat the Supreme Lord or his or Sargrahi devotees of the Lord, who can see through that all the show. He says, as for knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. It is so satisfying. Satisfying not to the soul, satisfying to the ego. To be honored. Especially if you don't have and somebody honors you for something. You are convinced that you have it. Especially if you are surrounded by fools. All yes men. And they just glorify that person. Because it pleases them. They are satisfied because you know this person will satisfy me later. So humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. This is the material conception of life. How to be successful, how to be the number one, so that everyone honors you. Your name is splashed all over the newspaper, the media is talking about you. You are the hot topic of discussion in the society or in the community. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. The words Prabhupada uses actually are like sutras. You should memorize, and if you can simply repeat this. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion. We come to religious life, we come to spiritual life, and even there we carry the baggage of our material conception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently sometimes it is found, and in Kali Yuga most of the times, that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into some group which is not actually following religious principles and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. Not just a religious person, a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. There are 18 more for those of you who are interested. Read the Bhagavad Gita as it is. 13th chapter, text 8 to 12. And Prabhupada explains two things here. Maicha ananya yogena bhaktira vyabhicharini. He says, this is the one most important quality. That there is a purpose of all these things. Maicha unto me, ananya yogena. Ananya means, anya means elsewhere. Ananya means unalloyed. Only one focus. Not to please the world. Not to please one's ego. Not to please the demigods. Only what will please Krishna. Mam ekam. Maicha ananya yogena bhaktihi avyabhicharini. Avyabhicharini is again the, as Prabhupada writes here, without, no, he says, the Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. That is the purpose of education. That is the purpose of human life. Everything else is ajnanam yattad anyatha, including the 18 other items that is mentioned as knowledge can also potentially become ignorance if it does not lead to maicha ananya avyabhicharini. Unalloyed means quality of devotion. It's pure. Purity of devotional service. Just like such Chandramouli Maharaj once made a very profound statement. He said, people think that rare things are valuable. He says, no, rarity. Some diseases are very rare. If you get that disease, you say, I have very special disease. You know, hemophilia, which is only happening in royal dynasties. That's not valuable. He said, what is really valuable is purity. Pure water, very rare. Pure air, only if very few people can afford it. Purity is very rare. Pure ghee. Pure diamond. It's very rare. So similarly, pure devotional service is very rare. And purity means what? No contamination. If I want to please someone, only his pleasure is of criteria. In benefit, what will I get? In the process, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. And simultaneously, I am known as a very nice devotee. You are satisfied. Krishna, you also be, you know, keep giving your blessings and I will also serve you. So purity of that devotion, that is the nature. To please someone is the natural propensity of the soul. Because in pleasing, you get satisfied. But whom to please? On whom to repose our loving? People, if you don't know God, you end up serving humanity. Potentially you can become very proud. You can end up serving country. You can end up serving community, society. You can end up serving your family. All these are great, selfless. But in the eyes of the Lord, it is all useless. You're serving a big illusion. Or in the most concentrated state, you may end up serving your own false ego. That's very selfish. But from an absolute point of view, if that loving propensity is not directed towards pleasing the Supreme Lord, then it is simply waste of labor, unalloyed. And then unflinching. Flinching means wavering, just, you know, swerving here and there, not steady, unsteady. Unflinching means steady. Any situation of life, Shita Ushna, it's not that 4 months, cold season, I can't engage in devotional service. Too cold. Too hot to engage in devotional service. I'm too happy to engage in devotional service. Now I'm too miserable to engage in devotional service. Now I'm honored so much that I'll do engage in devotional service later. I'm so much dishonored, I don't want to engage in devotional service. So that's the nature of this world, duality. So one is the purity, another one is the steadiness. That is all. Again and again, if you see, what is Krishna really impressed by is under all situation of dualities, a person sticks to pleasing Him. Like Prahlad Maharaj himself. So many distractions, so many temptations, so many problems, but steady. And this can only come when there is full faith, nishchaya, And you can continue to be very enthusiastic and still be patient when there is faith. And unalloyed. So the purity in terms of quality and steadiness in terms of time factor. Janme janme, life after life, I simply want to engage in your devotional service. Other than this, everything is a big show if that takes priority or emphasis or predominance over this purity and the steadiness of our heart's loving propensities to be reposed on the Supreme Lord. That is all. He doesn't care whether you are a Brahmana. He doesn't care whether you know all the etiquettes. He doesn't care whether how austere you are, or only drink milk for your whole life and stood on only one leg. He doesn't care. He cares only for this thing. He sees this essence. And if this is there, he neglects everything like a bee which neglects all the contamination and just goes for that nectar. If that little spark is there, the Lord just sees that and he's completely satisfied by that pure and steady reposing of affection to him alone. Prabhupada in this verse uses without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. And Prabhupada in this purport uses two times this word. Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Sincerely. And the second, he says, material elevation to life as a Brahmana, demigod, rishi and so on are not causes for developing love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. So since three times, one time in the verse and two times in the purport immediately, this word sincere has occurred, I thought, sometimes people ask, Prabhuji, what does it mean by sincere devotion? It's a very sincere devotee. So I thought I will discuss briefly one particular purport of Prabhupada. For those of you who are interested, you can, one of the verses that I very much relish. This is 1st Canto, 6th chapter, 26th verse, 1:6:26. Here, Narada Muni is speaking to Vyasadeva. That dear Vyasadeva, in your previous scriptures, all that you wrote, you have emphasized so many other things. And simultaneously sprinkled it on top with a little pure, unalloyed, unflinching devotion to the Lord. Therefore, I condemn that scriptures, all those scriptures, even though Vedic literatures, even though you have glorified tapasya, brahmatvam, dvijatvam, and good conduct and all these things. I said, I condemn it. Jugupsitam, condemned. Dharma krite anushasana. You have given so many things, but you have simply glorified the superficials, externals, and not emphasized the most essential thing. Therefore, you are not satisfied. What to speak of people who read that? Now, I will give you my own example how I became an intimate associate of the Lord in one lifetime. Because I did an activity which was very pleasing to the Lord on the instruction of the Bhakti Vedantas who extracted the essence and gave me this knowledge. And after that, I went through life practicing what I had heard from the Bhakti Vedantas. And he says this particular verse. And Prabhupada, why I am telling you is, Prabhupada writes the first line of the purport. The life of a sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada Muni by his personal example. That from the son of a Shudrani, from the most low birth where he had none of these qualities, in one lifetime, because of execution of sincere devotion, having heard from the Bhaktivedantas, he, in the very lifetime, at the end of it, became an eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world. So he says, Namani anantasya hatatrapah patan guhyani bhadrani kritani chasmaran gam paryatan tushta managatas praha kalam pratikshan vimado vimatsaraha. He says, thus I began chanting the holy name and fame of the Lord by repeated recitation, ignoring all the formalities of the material world. Such chanting and remembering is of the transcendental pastime of the Lord is our benedictory. So doing, I traveled all over the earth, fully satisfied, humble, and unenvious. The life of a sincere devotee of the Lord is thus explained in a nutshell by Narada Muni by his personal example. So if you want to become sincere, what should we do? Please listen. Such a devotee, after his initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, he may say, what if I am not initiated? Aspire for it. The real connection is spiritual. If you follow the rules, you are already connected. Such a devotee, after initiation by the Lord or his bona fide representative, takes very seriously chanting the glories of the Lord. Takes very seriously the chanting the glories of the Lord. That means, what does it mean to take seriously? That means, anything that you take very seriously is put as a priority in your life. And those which are not very important, you don't take them so seriously. If your child complains of some serious complaints, I have some problem, vomiting out, then you take that seriously. But you say, it's paining. Take it. So serious means immediate emphasis, immediate attention, immediate first and priority is given to that. chanting the glories of the Lord and traveling all over the world so that others may also hear the glories of the Lord. That means glorifying. Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh. Such devotees have no desire for material gain. They are conducted by one desire, to go back to Godhead. This awaits them in due course on quitting the material body, because they have envy. How to overcome envy, people ask. Because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead, they are never envious of anyone. Indra and Vritrasura are fighting. Indra was very envious of Vritrasura, thinking that he may conquer me and, you know, take over my position. Vritrasura said, shoot, I am supposed to die through your, you know, astra watch, which has been given by Vishnu. Shoot it, come on. And you stay here. You be Indra. I don't want to be Indra. I want to go back. You stay here permanently as Indra for a long time. Who cares? I don't want. Nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. And they are not even proud, because they know it's the mercy of the Lord and his great devotee who actually gave me this. It's by their mercy I am being dragged up. So he never feels proud, because he knows, who am I? I have absolute, therefore Prahlad Maharaj told, my Lord, I simply want to serve that personality who picked me up from this rotting material existence and elevated to me what I am today, to please you. I didn't know how to please you. It's only him. I know only him. And therefore, I simply want to serve him, life after life. And then, this beautiful statement, their only business, of a sincere devotee. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame and pastimes of the Lord, and according to personal capacity, to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. If this statement we can make the mission statement of our life, we will become sincere. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame and pastimes of the Lord, and according to personal capacity, to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. So, two things Narada Muni did. Namani anantasya hatatrapah pathan. Pathan means to recite constantly. Namani anantasya. Ananta means the Supreme Lord who has unlimited names, form, etc. Namani anantasya hatatrapah. Hatatrapah means without considering of social formalities. People may call you anything. It may not be very, according to the social format, it may not fall into place. What will they think? I don't care because it's a very serious thing. I can't consider who will think what. It's very serious. Very rarely I've got this human life. I can't worry about what the social etiquettes, you know, whether they like it or not. Yesterday we were sitting in the train and, you know, somebody may say, what is this? What is he doing? You know, putting it on and doing and chanting, disturbing or whatever. Hatatrapah. Let people think anything. What do they know? Hatatrapah pathan. Then guhyani bhadrani. Bhadrani means all auspicious and guhyani, very confidential. Kritani, the Lord's name, form, qualities, activities, paraphernalia, smaran. Ultimately, the all rules and regulations of scriptures, vrata, japa, tapa, whatever is there, is ultimately smartavya satatam vishnur vismartavya nu jatuchit. What will help you to remember Krishna always? Never forget Krishna anytime. That's the essence of all do's and don'ts. And Krishna says, antakale cha mameva patan japan smaran muktva kalevaran. You may be in a state where you can't chant out, but you are remembering the Lord. So smaran, ultimately even the best way of remembering is by chanting, if you are doing it attentively, inoffensively. So ultimately smaran, guhyani bhadrani kritani cha smaran. Because when you are remembering the Lord, you are actually in touch with the Lord. Because the Lord is non-different from his name, form, qualities, etc. He's absolute. So the most important thing is remembering. So remembering the Lord always. Yad karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad juhoshi, dadasi, yad tapasasi. Whatever you are doing, tad karusha mad arpanam. That mad arpanam is not there, then karoshi, ashnashi, juhoshi, dadasi becomes superficial. Then samaye vahi kevalam. So, guhyani bhadrani kritani cha smaran. Now, this is the external part, is remembering and chanting. But what are the other things? What is the purity part? You know, one is the constant part, constantly remembering the Lord, constantly chanting his glories. But what is the purity part? Gam paryatan tushta mana. The first thing is satisfaction. You are satisfied in whatever situation the Lord has put you in. Tushta mana gata spruhah. No other desire which is artificially imposed by external society. So many expectations are there from society, even in a spiritual religious society. So many expectations are put up, which is considered to be very advanced. Aren't you not, are you not doing this? You don't have this name as yet. So just for that name, just for that activity, just for that austerity. Because anyone who does that is considered very advanced. And you want to be considered advanced. And for that you struggle so much and forget the essence. So, tushta mana, being satisfied in whatever situation, whatever state, whatever level Krishna has put you in, then Gataspraha, without any other desire, other than how to please Krishna, that's all. And kalam pratikshan. As long as Krishna has given me this breath, I will continue to do this. I won't ask for more longer life, and I don't ask for... If you ask for a longer life, that means some material desire, enjoyment. You want to enjoy a longer life. No, I don't want. And if you want to die early, you want liberation. Enough is enough. Take me, Krishna. Take as early as possible. I am miserable. No. Kalam pratikshan. I don't mind whichever. If you want me to go through this purification, I'll go through Krishna as long as you want. I don't want extra time. I don't want time to finish. Your desire. Your will. Kalam pratikshan. Vimado. And by chance, if you got this consciousness, don't be proud. It has not come by your effort. It is by somebody's prayers, somebody's causeless mercy upon you. Vimado and vimatsara, non-envious. You have to be envious as long as you want to stay in this world. Because there is somebody else who is better than you. That's the nature of this world. What the first thing is tushtamana, being satisfied. Now, why are we not satisfied? I don't know. There are so many diseases which makes us dissatisfied. Diseases means created, artificially superimposed by society. And one of them is comparison. From the womb to the tomb in the outside society we find, material society, people are always comparing you with someone else. As soon as the child is born, from that time till the last moment he dies, he will plan his grave in a very sophisticated and nice way, so that, you know, at least jaate waqt ekdam shaan se gaya. Why? Because that fellow, I want to see that, you know, it is traveled and taken in such a nice way. That box should be made of teak wood. Because, you know, I am better than, even after death, that is a ordinary wood and this is teak wood. So this comparison is so prevalent in today's society. Right? As soon as the children are born, the parents are comparing. Look at you and look at that person. One of, many years ago, one of our Gurukul boys, who was very good in studies, was approached by the son of a very senior devotee of our congregation. And this boy was about just past 10th standard. No, not 10th standard. 6th or 7th standard. And this boy was also in the 6th, 7th in Gurukul. This boy approached him and told, he called him and he said, I hate you. So this Gurukul boy said, hey, maine kya kiya tere ko? What did I do? He said, my mother always takes your name. She said, look at this boy. He's in the orphanage. And he's getting so many marks. And you, with all the facilities given. And this, he said, I envy you. I hate you. So, at least this person, as an innocent boy, was, in a gross way, he was compared. And in a gross way, he expressed it. Because they are innocent and kids. But we are grown up. And the whole material society is always comparing. And these comparisons are put up in the notice board. They are not, they're in the billboards. If you don't have this, who are you? If this particular kind of branded gene is not on your body, if this particular kind of car you don't possess, if this particular kind of cigarette doesn't dangle at this particular angle from your lips, may not be in a devotional society. But when we come into devotional society, even there, you don't chant 25 rounds on Ekadashi. Oh. I have no time, you see, I have to chant 25 rounds. It may come. I'm not saying it's good or bad. Please don't misunderstand. You don't do Nirjal Ekadashi. Oh. three times you eat? Achha. Whatever. Who knows who is what? So much of comparison comes. And then you enter school, percentage. I know, many few years ago I went to Aurangabad. One boy committed suicide from the fourth floor, jumping from the college the day of the results, simply because he got 2% less than the person who stood first. So what? A sheet of paper and few marks on it, that's the goal of your life? He took that piece of paper and the marks written on it so seriously. It was a question of life and death for him. How did it come? Because of the pressure. If you don't get this, you are a useless person. What's your life living? So what do we take serious today? It's all what is offered by the society. This is success. This is the perfection of life. This is the goal of life. And if we take that seriously, if we judge ourselves that that is the value, then you strive to achieve that. But where does it lead to? Now, why is it unnatural to be compared? And after that, dasvi ho gaya, tenth ho gaya, kya kar raha hai? Arts, arts mein kya? MBA. Oh. Of course, to ordinary people, MBA. But then they ask you, kaun sa college? Achha. Oh. Finished. Your life is worthless if you did not get into a particular branded college. If you didn't get into a particular course. Even though the person is really doing his best. He feels, why is it bad? And after that, kitna kama raha hai? Kitna mil kitna raha hai? Are you happy, satisfied? That's not the consideration. Which area of Bombay are you staying? That area. What is the package? Annual. The whole society is comparison, 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 comparison till the end of death. After retirement, where did you go for a holiday? Yeah, Mahabaleshwar. Banganga. Anyway. Now, why is it bad? Why is comparison bad? Because generally we are influenced by this materialistic conception and it's not natural. It's not natural. Krishna has created everyone in a very unique way. As no fingerprints are alike, as unique as your fingerprint. Similarly, each soul is unique. And according to their karma and according to their mercy, have been given some unique abilities. Imagine a cuckoo, sweet singing cuckoo, looks at a parrot. Trang, trang, it just does. And rather than appreciating its own God-given gift of a special voice, if it looks at the color of the body and says, my color is like a crow, which is not appreciated by the bird society. And this parrot is very nice. And can you imagine what it would lead to? The whole life a cuckoo strives to become a parrot. This is the immediate example I got. What happens? Whole life, he first of all is miserable. I got a black body. Now, however you scrub it, you won't become green. Then, vidambanam, you have to put up a show. You have to get some artificial dye and put up. I'm also a parrot. But when you open your mouth, you have to change your everything, which you can't. So, it leads to so much of, first of all, a person, for the rest of his life, he becomes so miserable. So, frustration. Even though you're doing your best, you have such wonderful abilities because you're trying to look at something else that you don't have, which is given by Krishna to someone else for some specific purpose. A person becomes so frustrated and he feels so much of inferiority complex develops. I'm like this. Can you imagine an ant looks at an elephant? Ye janam mein to main nahi ban sakta. He will never be. But the ant has a unique ability. It can do something which the elephant can't. The ant can enter somewhere. The elephant can't. And ultimately that leads to enviousness. You're actually envious of the Lord, envious of the law of karma, envious of everyone. But in the spiritual world, there are beautiful cuckoos, there are chakravaka birds, there are so many fantastic variety of birds. In the third canto, 15th chapter, description of the kingdom of God, all these beautiful birds are named by Lord Brahma to the devatas. And then he says, but all these birds who have fantastic voices, all of them become silent when the bees start humming the glory of the Lord. Because the bee can hum the glory of the Lord in a way that none of these birds do. And all the birds respect the difference in the bee and they appreciate that unique contribution that only the bee can make, which none of the other birds can make. Therefore, it's a spiritual world. There are Mandara, Parijata, so many other verses there. So many kinds of flowers. But they all understand the unique service that only Tulsi can render to Krishna. They are not envious. They appreciate the unique, specific contribution that Tulsi can offer to Krishna. And they are always taking a back seat and pushing Tulsi forward to please the Supreme Lord. So there is variety, but there isn't any comparison which results to frustration and misery and inferiority complex and envy. Actually, variety, just imagine life. If the whole market, there was no other fruit but banana. And not even long banana, yellow banana, green. No. Only one size, only one quality, only one taste for all eternity. Imagine, only one flower. How could you appreciate, variety is the spice of life. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Can you imagine in this body if there were no variety? You wear hands everywhere. Two hands in place of eyes. One hand in the place of nose. Only hands. If all the parts of the body become envious of the hand and say, I want to become like the hand. And Krishna says, Tathastu. I'm just giving vent to my imaginating power. So the point is, Tushtamana, when you are satisfied by Krishna's unique, his intelligence, he knows best whatever he has given, and Gataspraha, not affected by the pressure, so-called artificial, superficial pressure of society to show off what you are not, Gataspraha, then Vimado. And you're not even proud of what has been given because all of this can be taken away any moment. So whatever you have with your personal capacity, your capacity is unique and it is different from others. If that contribution can be made. So I was just speaking actually to children of Gopal's garden the other day. and I was speaking. So ultimately you have to give them a carry home message. I said, first of all, just be yourself. You are unique. There is no one in creation. Even twin brothers are not the same, mind you. Do you understand? Do we just think about this? That I am unique in the whole creation, all the 84 lakh species, billions of living entities. No one is like me. Wow. Isn't it nice? Be happy. Rather than trying to become someone. You are unique. And truly, if we can identify that uniqueness and strengthen that other person's uniqueness by respecting that uniqueness and appreciating and encouraging that uniqueness and helping in a spiritual society to simply purify our consciousness so that with our identified and strengthened uniqueness, we can make a unique contribution to Krishna, which only we can do, no one else. And we can take inspiration from others' way, the way they did. We can take the inspiration how I can not imitate, but follow in the footsteps by using whatever God-given ability that I have, by Krishna's mercy, in the service of the Lord. And then we can actually create a spiritual world. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we see everyone has unique, but Haridas Thakur's mood is different. Everyone wants to be very close to Mahaprabhu, but Haridas Thakur is, everyone has come to meet Mahaprabhu, want to be so close. Nanabai introduced, and here is Haridas Thakur, practically long distance, offering his flat obeisances, and doesn't get up till the whole introduction is over, and then says, where is Haridas? My Lord is there, falling flat. Mahaprabhu had to go and pick him up actually. So, it's totally different. And Mahaprabhu, and each of these devotees of Mahaprabhu are very unique. Nityanand Prabhu's associates. Each one is very unique. Very transcendental. So we can, this sincerity is this, as Narada Muni or Prabhupada is explaining. Their only business is to chant and remember the holy name, fame and pastimes of the Lord, according to personal capacity to distribute the message for others' welfare without motive of material gain. Even while distributing or chanting, it's not for material gain. We are doing it to hear, to remember, and to give according to our capacity. Input, maintenance, and output. Just imagine, you take food. There is input. Then there is to maintenance. You know, somebody has to be, something has to be digested. And then there is output. If any one of this is disturbed, can you have a proper health? If only input is there, no output, you have to run to the hospital very soon. If only output is there, no input, then again you have to be admitted. And only input and output, no sustenance, maintenance is not happening, or absorption, assimilation is not happening, then also problem. So first thing is, hear from the right source, what exactly is to be achieved. And after here, try to simply remember the Lord in all situations. And according to personal capacity, share, distribute as much as you can, in whatever unique way you can. And that such a person, Namani Anantasya Hatatrapa Patan Divyani Bhadranikata, Gam Paryatan, whomever you meet, tushta mana. Be satisfied. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma na shochati. Don't lament for what you don't have and don't hanker for what you don't have. Be satisfied. Krishna has given you something very special. Tushta mana gataspraha. Don't unnecessarily acquire desires which are not even actually conducive to our devotion. Tushta mana gataspraha. Kalam pratikshan. Whatever moment Krishna has given, rather than asking for more or wanting to quickly finish off, kalam pratikshan vimadu, and somehow by God given blessings and mercy of the Lord and His devotees, if you have certain qualities, be grateful. Vimadu and vimatsara, focus on supreme, the back home, back to Godhead as the ultimate destination, rather than being envious of Brahma's position or Indra's position. We are not envious of Brahma and Indra because we never see them. Because we are actually envious of those who are nearby. Like Shyamananda Prabhu once made a very nice statement. India and Zimbabwe have no problems at all. They are the best friends. And India and Pakistan, India and Bangladesh, India and Sri Lanka, big problem. Why? There is something nearby. You have to share, you know, we have to rub the shoulder. You are not envious of someone very advanced. You are not envious of someone very, very below. We are generally envious of someone nearby. Because that's where we can tangibly compete. So, whether outside or whether in, we carry that baggage here also. And that, even though we are in spiritual life, we have taken to spiritual process, rather than seeking and understanding the essence, if you get caught up in these details, therefore Prahlad Maharaj is saying, he says, it's simply a show. So I would like to conclude with Prahlad Maharaj's words. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, we are demons if we make anything else the priority in the eyes of the Lord. You cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. All these are important. It's like decorations, which the more you are decorated, the more beautiful a person becomes. But without sincere, unalloyed, unflinching devotion, it is all decoration on a dead body. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Show bottle. No substance. Sometimes in the showroom they keep show bottles. Just like even for our back to Godhead, you know, no, not back to Godhead, during marathon, they had a huge Bhagavad Gita. There's nothing inside. Huge Bhagavad Gita. That's okay, at least. You see Krishna and remember Krishna, at least. But there are huge bottles, and sometimes, you know, if you go to Zaveri Bazaar or Trivuvan Zaveri, what is it, jeweler shop, so many. That's not a jewel. Otherwise, they won't keep it inside the glass. All the people are standing. Inside is the real jewelry. This is superficial. They show. They keep a woman standing, even wearing all these things, some mannequin. It's just a show. And a person who really wants things, he's not attracted by these things. He goes inside and buys the real stuff. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki. So, any questions or comments? Yes, Krishnanam Prabhu. There are three people who raised their hands, so we'll take only three questions. Krishnanam Prabhu. I saw him first, at least.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your nice class. This problem of comparison that we experience in our day-to-day life out in the material world, subtly, it also pervades here in our in the spiritual association. And there's always this tendency to compare, and sometimes we feel so frustrated that in spite of our efforts, we are not really, you know, making any progress in our spiritual lives. So, in such situations, a person could positively, he could take it positively in the sense that, you know, he could further his spiritual activities. But when it becomes negative, you know, when a person goes into a mood of depression, or, you know, he sometimes even leaves the association of devotees. So in a spiritual society, how does one safeguard? Because in the material world, we see that it is happening and nothing anybody is doing about it. But at least in the spiritual association, how does one ensure that we really don't get caught into this problem of comparison?
There is a difference between humility and self-pity. Humility, when a person is very humble, it manifests as deep appreciation of others' special unique contribution, and you take inspiration. One time I wrote an offering to Srila Prabhupada, and I said, "Dear Srila Prabhupada, give me the humility and the courage to accept what I am." It requires real humility and it requires really courage to accept what I am. We are absolutely insignificant. But to avoid it from becoming self-pity, I said, "Srila Prabhupada, please give me the strength and the intelligence not to remain where I am." So I take pleasure and inspiration from someone showing intense enthusiasm or devotion or faith and patience. Different people manifest predominantly certain qualities. Sanatana Goswami exhibited humility to the ultimate degree. Ramananda Rai expressed one particular aspect. You know, Haridas Thakur expressed another. It's not that they were lacking any of this, but one is very predominant. Take pleasure in hearing about that quality, in appreciating that devotee who is exhibiting that quality by Krishna's mercy. And take inspiration so that I can also, in whatever way I can, try to please Krishna. I always want to improve to please Krishna. That is humility. And what is self-pity? Self-pity means it's actually ignorance. Humility is transformed into self-pity when you are ignorant. You think that I am so fallen, I am so useless. Krishna is not a fool. He cannot create anything which is useless. We create something which is useless and they are troubled by it. Everything that Krishna creates has a unique purpose. Everything. There is nothing in the creation which has no use. If we see something to be useless, that's only Maya. So everything in creation has a specific purpose. So, ignorance of the real self, or if you think I am so fallen that even Krishna cannot help me now. That is ignorance of Krishna's power. I am so fallen. That again, even in that fallen state, the ego wants to take, I am the most fallen. Nobody is more fallen, because anyone who is fallen, Krishna delivers. But no, I am so fallen, Krishna also cannot deliver. Therefore, I want to run away. I mean, we may not say like that very grossly, but that's what we are. We feel that, you know, devotional service also cannot help me. Even this Mahamantra cannot help me. Even this association cannot help me. That means we are more fallen than Jagai and Madai. At least my name should go in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. As a person whom Mahaprabhu couldn't deliver. Actually, Maharaj Pratap Rudra told like that. He told Ramananda, he told Sarvabhaumacharya, am I so fallen that he has delivered Jagai and Madai? Has Mahaprabhu come with a determination, resolution that he will deliver everyone except Maharaj Pratap Rudra? Why is he not showing me? But he could have gone into depression. He did say, if he doesn't give me mercy, I will leave all my clothes and I'll put an ivory on my ear. That means I'll become a mendicant. And he was actually serious about it. But then he expressed it to Sarvabhaumacharya, his guru. And his guru said, I'm very pleased by this attitude of yours. Maintain and just do what I'm telling you. Patience. Be enthusiastic. Have faith. Be patient. And sure enough, he sincerely continued to serve the devotees, keep that association, feeling himself so fallen. Harichandan was slapped. He said, why? What a glorious person. You got a hastasparsha hoila. Bhagyavan tumi toma hastasparsha hoila. Srivas Thakur slapped him. And Harichandan sir was about to say something. Bhagyavan tumi toma hastasparsha hoila. I am so fortunate. I wish I could have got that slap. Maharaj Pratap is telling to Harichandan, his servant. This was his consciousness. Knowing the mercy of the Lord. Yes, I am fallen. Everybody knows. Nobody has to advertise it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been here. But appreciate the mercy and try to take advantage. So, therefore, we have to constantly hear these great personalities, Mahajanas, extract the essence and present us. And Srila Prabhupada's purport, they tell us what is really pleasing to the Lord. But sometimes it is, we are in a society which is so much in contact with the material world that same tendency creeps in. Who's advanced? Now, how do you know who's advanced? Anyone can immediately go back home, back to Godhead, and the others may continue to remain. You can't say. In this society, we have found very simple housewives, insignificant, simple brahmacharis who didn't do something fantastic, but what a consciousness at the right time they exhibited. Whereas sometimes we may do all that and then ultimately, finally, burnt out and left the movement. It's very difficult to judge. We're just happy and do our best, and they leave the rest to Krishna. Yes, Vrindavan. I mean, Anand Vrindavan. After going to Kolhapur, you know, get this name. It's such a relief to know Krishna doesn't see any of this. Therefore, in any state, you can go in front of the Lord and say, Haribo, Krishna, you know. Of course, I don't know. You know, please accept. And know for sure, Krishna is there.
Thank you, Prabhu. Gave a very good class today. Gave me the full gist of Krishna consciousness today. Thank you very much.
By Prahlad Maharaj. I'm repeating.
Today was a very unique class.
No one else in this universe can give class like this. By Krishna's mercy.
Prabhu, I always feel that it's wonderful to be in the congregation of devotees. In a congregation of devotees, you are very cared, you are protected, you are secure. Because you are always being in the association, so those associations can take care of you very nicely. But there are some pitfalls also in this congregation. In congregations on our side. What the pitfall is, because you are staying in the congregation, many times you get carried away, or the congregation members makes you carried away. And because it makes you carried away, sometimes whatever the theme which is there in this Krishna consciousness, we compromise or we sacrifice it. And we get carried away with those things. And at times, sometimes it so happens that it goes for years and years and years, and we don't understand it. And in that circumstance, sometimes what happens is, although we are calling ourselves a devotee, we are spending years and years in devotional life, we are there with everything, yet we have not understood what is devotional service itself. So in that circumstances, what a sincere devotee should do to see to it that although he remains in congregation, at the same time, not get those negative effects of those things and maintain the gist of Krishna consciousness and not sacrifice it.
Devotional service is like milk on a gas stove which is put on sim, low fire. And just by remaining on that stove, gradually the milk will turn into rabadi. Very sweet. Condensed milk, and then, you know, very sweet, which is worth offering to the Lord. So, doesn't matter, but if that touch with devotion, if it goes away, then everything is finished. So, touch with devotional service should never go. And whatever is necessary to remain in touch with the devotional service, that should be, we should seek to adopt in our lives. Sometimes it's very painful. Society and community, you know, like honor and dishonor, and happiness and distress, things like that. But understanding that there are different levels of devotees, there'll always be different levels, and all want to simply kind of encourage, but in their own way. Prabhuji, you're a pure devotee. They may say it in a view to encourage, but they may not understand what is the best way to encourage. So therefore, somebody who can, whom we trust, who can actually give us that proper direction. We appreciate everyone's sincere endeavor to encourage and appreciate and respect each other. But at the same time, for our actual nourishment, and we look up to those whom we consider that, yeah, yes, they are mature enough to actually. Yeah, and their opinion becomes very important. The world opinion is one thing, whatever others may think, but what Krishna thinks of it, whom we respect and trust to, you know, understand, who have mature understanding, what is their feeling, opinion, if you want to get an understanding. And if we simply remain, and even if we are going through all these situations, we must know that because we are staying, Krishna is purifying. It's the process of purification. If we somehow remain, purification occurs. If we keep on, you know, if it's moved from the stove and again back, again it becomes cool, again it becomes, you know, just continue to stay in that proper association. Association doesn't simply mean physical association. Association means the desperation to actually get Krishna's mercy through any source that we have. You may be thousands of miles away and be more closer and more intensely getting the mercy and benefit than someone who is so near and yet not really appreciating and understanding. I have seen people who are far, far away, but every day they have this darshan. I am here, but I don't see, have this darshan. But they're every day, you know, wanting that darshan, and, you know, thousands of miles away. Today's class was so nice. I don't hear, though I'm sometimes sitting, I forget what was spoken in the class. Because we, you know, are so close, sometimes take it for granted. But some people remember, you know, that particular class that this Prabhu gave on this particular day. I said, really? I don't even know what's happening. So, the real thing is consciousness. To be conscious why we are doing what we are doing. And to be always refining ourselves to know how we should be doing what we are doing. And if we are sincere, then Krishna will do the needful. Even if he says, go away, he'll catch our shikha and bring us back. He knows how to do it. You don't have to too much worry, paralysis by analysis. You don't have to do that. Just try to, you know, sincerely serve. All right? Yes, one last question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for inspiring class. My question is, you told that we have to be always satisfied in every circumstances. Now, it's very difficult because sometimes can lead to callousness. We might say that I am very satisfied. That is actually a callousness. I don't want to advance, I mean, from my position. And also sometimes, you know, if somebody is earning, so for him it is very difficult to remain satisfied because, you know, boss also, like he sometimes compares with you with somebody else. So what to do, you know, how to remain satisfied in that circumstance?
As Prabhupada said, do the needful. Just to survive in that society. But if you don't have a proper focus on what should be the aim of life, what should be the priority, what's actually to be achieved. Because I'll read one particular purport of Srila Prabhupada, which, now Shukadev Goswami, when he sees this world, he sees it from a different perspective. And the whole of Bhagavatam is to see this world from Shukadev Goswami's point of view. Because he sees this as Krishna sees it. How does Krishna see this? I would like to read one particular verse and purport to Srila purport of Srila Prabhupada. Very powerful purport. Should be able to digest this. The material world exists only as a dream due to our attachment to it. Otherwise, the living soul is always different from the material nature. The great ocean of material nature is tossing with the waves of time, and the so-called living conditions are something like foaming bubbles which appear before us as bodily self, wife, children, society, countrymen, etc. Due to lack of knowledge of self, we become victimized by the force of ignorance and thus spoil the valuable energy of human life in a vain search after permanent living conditions, which are impossible in this material world. The whole materialistic advancement of human civilization is like a decoration on a dead body. Everyone is a dead body, including you and me. Everyone is a dead body, flapping only for a few days. And yet, all the energy of human life is being wasted in the decoration of this dead body. Very powerful. This is the truth. But at the same time, the Vaishnava philosophy is utility is the principle. You have a body, you're in a society, act in such a way that you do whatever is necessary, but the nature of this world is, when you take responsibility, you become attached. And if you are detached, you become irresponsible. You see? When you take responsibility, there is a tendency to become attached to things, to people, to the position. And if you are detached, then you become irresponsible. But the art of living, as explained in the 5th chapter, 10th verse on the Gita, Brahmanyadhaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiha lipyatena sapapena padmapatramivambasa. How to be like a lotus leaf. In the world, but not of the world. You are responsible, yet detached. You act in a responsible way to set a good example to the people, but simultaneously, you are detached. Because you are doing it for a specific purpose. You know that. That's not my goal, to compete and all that. But just to do whatever is necessary to set a good example to people, you can do this and simultaneously be progressing in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains, the only difference between a Krishna conscious person and a non-Krishna conscious person is the desire. Our desire is to please Krishna. People's desire to please their boss, please their society, please their ego, please their senses, please the community, whatever. But the desire is very important. And that desire, by associating with those who have the right desire, and then we learn the art of how to maturely balance the two. And that takes time, of course. But we don't have to go through the school of hard knocks and get beaten up and crashed before coming. We could learn through seeing, through hearing, through experiencing in the others' lives what to do, what not to do. All right? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nithai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much.